If you guys want to start turning to Ephesians 3 this morning. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We'll have the scriptures on the screen as well. So last week I was telling you guys about the weight of the ice and the snow and how God was showing me things about weights and burdens and how we need to get rid of those. Well, that's not all that God was showing me through that ice storm that we had and that snow. Because as some of you guys know, right before we left to come to church that morning, we actually lost power at the house. So God kind of showed me some things about power and how much we rely on the power. And that electricity, although you can't see it, you can't see the electrons flowing on the copper wire from the source to whatever you're trying to power, however you're trying to use that power. But it's there. And just like that, with the power of electricity that we depend on for our lives and for our normal things that we do, God gives us His power. And so often we take it for granted, but it's that power we really rely on to function. See, God never intended us to do things under our own power. He never wanted us to try to have a generator that we make the power ourselves. He wants us to flow in His power. He wants us to allow Him to give us strength. He wants us to rely on Him and Him alone. I'll say for the last couple of years here at New Life, you guys might be familiar with this passage because we've read it plenty, and we even took a month and we prayed it over ourselves. We prayed it over the church. Ephesians 3:14, starting in 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the works, power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I'll say this is a very powerful section of Scripture. And we prayed it and we substituted we and we would put in us. Or we would put in New Life. If you were praying for somebody else, you separated me or we or us, and you put in that person's name. And it's a very powerful thing when you personalize it because you realize that it truly applies to you today, now, and in the future. But Paul says here that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. God works through us. We can't do it on our own. He knows that we can't do it on our own even. And that is why He sent Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave us unequipped. He gives us every resource that we need. God sent His Spirit to be with us as one of the best ways to show that He loves us. And just like the birth of Jesus, Holy Spirit didn't come unannounced either. Luke 24, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I'm sure you guys can tell by now, I love it when God gives us promises. And this verse, if you guys didn't catch it while it was on the screen, or you want to look at it later, you might notice that promise is with a capital P. That's the Holy Spirit. Luke says it again in Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Again, he links Holy Spirit and power. And then the fulfillment of all of this and the demonstration of that power comes in Acts 2, verse 4. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Passion Translation puts it this way. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. Empowered by the Spirit. Holy Spirit and power are fully linked. They're so often used together in Scripture. But one other thing that you might notice here with the upper room is that the people that were there received Holy Spirit. At large today in the church, they seek out people who are highly anointed. They want to bring people in to work that work and flow in God's power. Yes, we bring people in. I would say Jeff and Nancy Clark, we had them in last year. We're planning on bringing them in again this year. And there's a lot of things we can learn from them, but it should supplement what God's already doing in the body. It should confirm, it should flow into everything that we are already doing. In the upper room, there were 120 people, and Holy Spirit fell on each and every one of them. The tongues of fire that they say appeared to them didn't just go to the first 100 and then say, yep, we're out. All right, you other 20, just hang on. You guys will get it later. We'll ship it USPS. No. All received the flame. All received the fire. All received the power. God is no respecter of persons. Every single person in that room received the Holy Spirit fire. Every single person can be used by God. You don't even have to buy a Powerball ticket. Every single one of them got it. The blood of Jesus is what qualifies us to receive His Spirit. Don't be telling yourself this morning that you need to work harder for it, that you're not good enough, that you don't pray enough, that you don't read your Bible enough. Holy Spirit came for us regardless of how we are, regardless of where we are in our walk. Jesus knew we would need help. I know I needed help. I'm sure some of you guys are saying amen to that. But that's why Jesus prayed for us, that God the Father would send Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus prayed for you and me while he was here on the earth. That's you and me today. He prayed 2,000 years ago for us today that we would receive his helper, that we would not be an orphan, that we wouldn't be alone. He will abide. That's live. When you see the word abide, that usually gets translated live in today's context. He'll live in us forever, eternally, without end, no expiration date, forever. So Holy Spirit is completely with us. We don't have to look up his address. He's right here. He's right here. Holy Spirit's power works inside of us constantly. Some of the things that we overcome in life, there's absolutely no explanation other than Holy Ghost power. There's really nothing else that explains it. We may think that things are too much for me, but it's not if you do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives us power over what the enemy throws at us in our minds. He reveals what's going on so we can pray specifically against that. He teaches us as we're going through just about anything. God's resurrection power, when Jesus was raised back to life, he also raised our dead selves back to eternal life and is available to us at any time. The story goes, a logging foreman sold an old farmer a chainsaw. He said, "This is guaranteed to chop down 50 trees in a day." The farmer was impressed by that. A week later, the farmer stormed back through the front door and threw the saw on the counter, and he demanded his money back. "There's something wrong with the saw. There's no way it'll do 50 trees a day. It can hardly do 3. The foreman grabbed the saw, pulled the cord, and the chainsaw went ring. The farmer jumped back, eyes wide open. "Hey, what's that noise?" For so many Christians, God's power is available to us, but we simply don't know how to access it. See, God's power is available to us all the time, but it's up to us to actually access it. So when I first started thinking about Holy Spirit's power, when he started showing me power and all that, one of the first things that I thought of was the gifts of the Spirit that are spelled out in 1 Corinthians 12. And there are nine gifts that are laid out in that chapter, and they can be sorted into 3 different groups. One of those categories is what's called the power gifts. Those 3 power gifts are gifts of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. I'm going to dive into that just a little bit. The gift of faith, there's a difference between the gift of faith and having faith. So much of everything we do, we operate out of faith. By faith, we believe the Bible to be 100% true. By faith, we accept Jesus as our Savior. By faith, we receive any of the gifts that Jesus wants to use us in. But the gift of faith is different. It's a supernatural impartation of belief and confidence for a specific situation. It's when, by all odds, you'd be a complete fool to take the stand that you're going to take, unless you've heard from God. It's knowing in your knower a complete confidence in what an outcome's going to be. It's almost abrasive at times when you're around with somebody with the gift of faith, because you think you need to keep praying, you need to keep pressing in, because you haven't heard the answer yet, but they have, and they've been released from whatever it was they were praying on. They heard it, okay, and they move on. They don't let it fester. They don't continue going because they heard, and they have confidence in it. It's where some people use the derogatory term of name it and claim it type theology. Sometimes those people are just operating out of the gift of faith. But there are people out there that got that theology and tried using it for their own advantage. Oh, I want a sports car. I'm going to get a sports car. But here's the difference. If you didn't hear from God that that's what you're going to do or that's what you're going to get, that's where you get in trouble. That's a whole nother teaching for another day. I can chase rabbits there all day long, I think. Gifts of healing is the next gift that we're going to talk about a little bit. Healings are more than just having faith that you're going to get healed. The gift of healings are more than just us recognizing that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. It's when you have compassion for somebody to lay hands on them for God to heal them. It's the ability through Holy Spirit to give supernatural transfer of divine health. It's praying with confidence over somebody and they are supernaturally restored over whatever sickness or hurting or pain or whatever's going on in their body. It's very similar to the other gift, power gift, which is the working of miracles. And you guys know I'll touch on the Greek here. So, working of miracles, the word working in the Greek is energemia, which, of course, is where we get the word energy. It's the energy used for miracles. It's when God's miraculous power changes natural situations. Miracles happen when God supernaturally intervenes. The miracles reveal God's presence and His glory. It gives a sense of awe and wonder amongst those who see it as well. People know that there's no way to have that happen other than God did it. I still remember a few years back of our missions trip to Mexico we took. And I remember it almost clear as day. It was a Tuesday. We went to a town called San Miguel del Puerto. And the kids had a shoebox distribution. The adults, we ministered to them. We got done with a short message. And we had an altar call. And we were praying for people left and right. And right towards the end of praying for everybody, a little girl was brought up, maybe 6 years old. I'm guessing six is what sticks in my mind. And she was deaf and mute. And I remember we prayed for her. And I was watching her eyes when we were praying for her. And as she received her healing, I just saw her eyes go. They just got huge. And she was looking left and right. You could tell that God just touched her. You could tell what God was doing in her. That miracle, that healing, touched more than just her that day. Her mom was right there behind her, and she realized what was going on too. And even after she saw what was going on, and she had no explanation for it, she still wasn't sure if she was wanting to accept Christ as her Savior. But you could just watch her and see God working in her where she's questioning, she's wondering. And you could just almost see it when she broke. And she realized that there was no reason for her to keep control, keep trying to fight it. And then she gave her life to Christ as well. God reveals himself through all of that. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we start getting used in these gifts either, because Jesus told us that we would be doing them. John 14 and verse 12, right before he said what we had just read, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." You start to think about the stuff that Jesus did while he was on the earth. He healed the sick. The lame started to walk. The mute would talk. The dead was raised. And Jesus said that we would do greater than those things. Greater than those things. That's a promise that God made us in his word there. We shouldn't be surprised. Jesus operated in every single gift of the Spirit when he was on this earth. Jesus was the only one who ever operated in every single gift, every single role. But God distributes the gifts to his whole body. He distributes each gift as he sees fit. You may not be getting used with any of these gifts yet. How God used you 5 years ago may not be how he's going to use you today. How he uses you today may not be how he's going to use you in 2 years from now. May not even be how he uses you in a month. You never know how God's going to use you, what gifts he's going to deposit in you, until you hear the prompting of Holy Spirit and step out in faith to try it. I really only talked about the three power gifts here, but sometimes God uses it with more than just one gift. For example, the word of knowledge. Sometimes God gives us a prompting that, hey, somebody's got an issue with a knee. Hey, somebody's got an issue with a back. And so if you guys talk to James and Amy when they're in town, James is the first one to tell you. Sometimes he's like, man, I don't know. He goes, I keep hearing shoulder. And eventually you find the person that's got a problem with their shoulder. And sometimes you're just talking to somebody and he's like, hey, you got a problem with shoulder? Well, yeah, I threw it out like 4 years ago when I was doing boxing. I don't know. But you guys know what I'm saying, though. You get a prompting from Holy Spirit and you recognize a need. And then that leads into the gift of healing being able to be used as well. Sometimes it may be one person that you're with has the word of knowledge and the other person has a gift of healing. Look through the Bible. You see people running together. You see Paul and Timothy. You see Paul and Silas. You see where different apostles and prophets ran together. Because God uses them together. God uses body together. These gifts are not for ourselves. They are all to glorify God. We don't do them because we want recognition. The only part we really ever have in it is just that we're willing to be used. When Jesus was here, even though he was 100% God and 100% man, he didn't do it for the glory to himself. He did it so that God the Father would be glorified through him. So how might we recognize when God's wanting to use his power through us? First one is pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, you know through the Holy Spirit that there's something going on beyond the natural. Holy Spirit may pray for something that we didn't even know about. He may be praying for stuff that isn't disclosed. He's communicating to God directly on our behalf. We can take our hands off of it. We can say, we don't have to go, oh, hey, don't forget about this. Oh, hey, don't forget about that. I want to make sure that I include this. So often we overcomplicate it. So often we try to get our hands on it and not let God do what he wants to do. Praying in the Spirit also builds us up. Let's face it, some days we need built up. One of the other ways to recognize when God's wanting to use his power through us is stay in God's Word. God's Word is living, and it's full of power. Our faith will grow as we read what God's wanting to do and what he's done in the past. We'll see more of what he has for us. It will remind us more of his goodness and that he's never actually done with us. That he always is working on us. That he's always working through us. Spend time with the Father. Just like when you're around a campfire, you smell like the campfire long after you've gone. Spending time with God, you recognize his voice long after you're gone from your prayer time, long after you're gone from interacting with him. The more familiar you are with his voice, the more you'll hear when he speaks to you when you're out and interacting with somebody else. He'll continue to give us direction and the next steps to take. One other thing to remember is to remain humble. And this is one of the ones that, as you're getting used, is one of the hardest ones to pay attention to. The more that you're used, the more likely it is that we'll think that we're all that in a bag of chips. In reality, all we are is just a conduit to transmit that power. There's many ministries where the lead pastor or a big mega church pastor or a Christian author, where they fell into sin and had all kinds of issues. And although God would use them greatly when they were using them, oftentimes they didn't stay humble and they got outside of God's will. That's why we always say the expectation for man is down here, expectation for God is up here. When we start putting our trust in what man is doing or what famous person is doing, we miss out on what God is doing. Because God's given each of us free will. He wants us to make that decision. He wants us to realize where we are. So we need to guard our hearts and remain humble. Even the great apostle Paul realized that he had to remain humble because his ministry was growing. He was being used greatly by God. But God reminded him that he keeps him humble, that his grace is all that he needed. He didn't need recognition, just kept the grace that God was giving him. Apart from God, we are nothing. He's looking for us to realize where he's the only thing we can rely on, that he is our desire, and we give him all the glory for it. Our God, he's a loving God. He cares so much for us. He cares so much for us that that same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. He never left us powerless. Even in these days where it seems like there's nothing we can do, he's given us his power. The power of the Holy Spirit did not stop when the apostles died. What God's word said back then in the first century is still true today. We can read it and we can see all the promises that are still for today. If you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, but you haven't received the Holy Spirit, here's the great thing about it. Comes from Luke 11, starting at verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will it give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give you a serpent instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is faithful to give his Holy Spirit if we ask. If we seek God and seek the gift of his Holy Spirit, he is faithful to give it to us. Now, so I've been feeling this even more so during worship, but God wants to fill each and every one of you this morning. If you've never been filled with Holy Spirit, don't leave this morning without us laying hands on you. If you need a touch from God, whether it be a healing or a mental healing even, God wants to meet you this morning. If you've been filled with the Spirit before, but you feel like there's a lack, God wants to meet you this morning. And so we'll go ahead and put some worship music on, but we'll be up here praying for you. Elders, wives, come. Ushers, to anybody that needs a prayer, I'll say we'll be up here. God wants to meet us. His power is not done. And he wants us to send that out even from this group too. Well, Father, we thank you for your power. We thank you that you did not leave us helpless, God. We thank you that every good gift comes from above. Every gift is from you, God. Lord, help us realize those gifts. Help us exercise those gifts as we go out, God. Lord, we pray for confidence as we go out. Lord, we pray for divine revelation. We pray that you tell us that we know, that we know, that we know that this is from you, God. Lord, help us show you to others. Help us show your power and what you want to do to others, God. We humble ourselves. We keep ourselves humble. Lord, we look to you. We give you all the glory for anything that you do, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.